very famous part of John chapter 3. We're going to read together. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. We'll read together on verse 1, and you read with me every other verse down through verse 7, please, everyone. There was a man in the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. I want to bring a message today with a title that doesn't sound at all like what the scriptures are that we just read, but they will make sense to you in just a little while, and that is simply this: you need a new wardrobe. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that over the years, but you need a new wardrobe. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, Heavenly Father, I obviously need your help today, so I'm calling upon you once again to be my help and my strength. And Lord, I pray that we would listen carefully, because even though today I may be preaching to the choir, so to speak, it's a truth that all of us need to hear. So Father, meet with us, I pray. Speak to our hearts. Supply something that we need today. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was growing up, from time to time, I heard a phrase, upon entering into my own house growing up, I'd be dirty playing outside, you know how kids are. Mud holes. We're drawn to a mud hole like a moth to a flame. You know how that is. And I would hear these words only on occasion. You can't come in here like that. Which meant take your shoes off or go wash or do something, because you are not properly dressed today to walk into the house. You are a filthy mess. You can't come in that way, or you can't go in there like that. Same thing's true with different restaurants if you've ever been to, like Cliff House right down the street here. It's a 4-star establishment. They've been around, we met them when they first started going after the place had burned down many, many years ago. And we were right there at the beginning of it. But you don't usually walk into their elegant dining room in your work clothes covered with grease and dirt and maybe smelling like the place that you just came from. You don't. You try to tidy up some, you know, put on a clean pair of breeches, or put on a nice, clean, well-ironed dress, or maybe want to walk in with your hands clean and walk in with your hair combed or whatever it might be. There used to be a restaurant up in Denver. It was called Trail Dust. I don't know that it's still open up there. I think it's closed, I think. But anyway, you could not walk into that restaurant if you had a tie on. They would cut your, a guy would beat you at the door with a pair of scissors and cut your tie off. Just in preparation for this message, I read a testimony of a customer up there who said he lost many a tie walking into that restaurant. My first thought was, well, why did you walk back in with another tie on if you got the first one cut off? I guess he was a glutton for punishment or something. Or maybe he just wore ties that he didn't like, all the ones that he got on Father's Day or whatever it might be. He'd say, well, let's go. I got to get rid of this tie. Let's go to the Trail Dust and eat. And it just was not proper to walk in there with a tie on. It just was not appropriate. By the way, all that to say this, that's the way it is with heaven. Pastor, that doesn't even sound like a doctrine of grace. It actually is. There's requirements for entrance into heaven. There really are. And you know the phrase that says you can't take it with you? You really can't take it with you. And the truth is, you're not going to be able to enter heaven just any old way. And this is not a message today on how to be born again. It's a message that tells us what's going to get us into heaven. Some may think they can get into heaven any old way, but ultimately the truth is you can't go in there like that. So there has to be something that changes. If you're taking notes this morning, I have two very simple points, and I hope you'll listen very, very carefully. Number one, you got to have the proper clothing. Proper clothing to get into heaven, preacher? You mean a dress code? If you have your Bibles this morning, and I believe most of you do, if you go back to the book of Isaiah, I would like for you to, I'm going to wait for you to get there for this because I want you to be able to see it. And then you may want to write down the reference with your pen or your pencil or whatever you have with you as a cross-reference on this. Isaiah 61 and verse 10 simply says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. There is a dress code for the entrance into heaven, and it consists of garments that are made by the Lord for you, and you can't get this, you can't get these garments at Walmart. Even though Walmart's making great changes right now, and you walk into a Walmart now, and it's like walking into the JCPenney or some other store that's a few steps up above Walmart. You can't get these garments there. In 1834, a man by the name of Edward Mote penned the song called The Solid Rock. And the fourth stanza goes like this. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that's called, by the way, imparted righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. We have self-righteousness, which is rejected by God. Self-righteousness will never get you into heaven. Living right will not get you into heaven. Giving up sin will not get you into heaven. You can't live righteously enough. You have to have the righteousness that God puts on you on the day of your salvation. And God and Christ gives you this the moment of your salvation. It's necessary. Why is it necessary? Again, if you have your Bible there in the book of Isaiah already, go ahead just a few chapters to chapter 64 and verse 6. This verse I think most of us know, but listen to what it says. But we all are as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have carried us away. That's why we have to be dressed in his righteousness. That's why we need his robe of righteousness. That's why we need his garments of holiness. Why? Because our righteousnesses, all of them, look what it says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They'll never get us into heaven. We have to have his. The necessary because of Isaiah 64 and verse 6. The New Testament chapter, in the chapter, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible tells us what won't get us into heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Those works of righteousness are as filthy rags. Think about that for a moment. Those works of righteousness, whatever they may be, living right, living for others, philanthropy, taking care of the poor, dressing right, acting right, talking right, being faithful in church, being faithful in your giving, taking care of missionaries and all the rest of it, those works of righteousness are as filthy rags when it comes to what will take us to heaven. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, we must be dressed in his righteousness alone and not our own. Why? Because all of our righteousnesses, no matter how good they may be, no matter how many they are, no matter how hard we try, and no matter how sincere we may be, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, every one of them. See, no one enters into heaven just any old way that he wants. He has to be dressed in the righteousness of Christ. You don't have to go there, but if you can find Zechariah chapter 3, I want to read for you a little story that's here. For me personally, this is one of the most inspirational stories in the Word of God I have ever read. It became dear to me, I would say back in the mid to late 70s when I first heard it and read it. It's one of those cornflake sermons, cornflake passages in the Bible where you taste it again for the very first time. When I heard this, it was so inspirational to me, and to this day still is. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 3, 4, and 5. Now this is not the Joshua that wrote the book of Joshua. This was Joshua the high priest. It says, "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of garment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by." What had happened in this passage? Joshua stood before the Lord, and the devil was there to accuse him. And by the way, when you read in the book of Revelation, the Bible says he stands before God day and night, and there he accuses us before the Father. And when that happened, I love what the Bible says. He said, "I took away the filth from him. I took away the filthy garments. I clothed him in righteousness, and I set a fair mitre upon his head." He says, "Don't you accuse him." Now, the devil can accuse us to this day. And by the way, he doesn't have to lie about it either. He doesn't have to tell God lies about us. The truth of the matter is, he can tell the truth. But there was a number of years ago, 61 years ago, when an 8-year-old boy was washed of his sin, his old sinful nature, and came to faith in Christ, and his name was Danny Parton. And I say again, no one enters into heaven just any old way. He has to be clothed in the robes of righteousness. And you get the clothes of righteousness how? How do you get those? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," well, that's it. But listen very carefully. John chapter 3, where we read just a moment ago at the beginning of this message, and now you'll see how John 3, verses 1 through 7, fits like a hand in a glove, a hand in a hand, in this message that says you need a new wardrobe. John chapter 3 and verse 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And again in John chapter 3 and verse 5, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." What's the context? Born of water refers to the physical birth. Nicodemus asked the question. He said, "Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born a second time?" And Jesus said, "You didn't catch what I said." He said, "You have to have the first birth in order to have the second birth. You have to be born of water." He talks about the little sack of water in the womb that the baby is carried in, born of water. It's not talking about the Word of God, as many people teach. It's not talking about baptism, as many teach, of all things. It's talking about the water birth, of all things. When a woman is going to have a baby, they say her water breaks. And if she goes into the hospital and that water has not broken, sometimes they break that water for her so that that baby could be born. That's what Jesus was saying. You got to be born of water and of the Spirit, or you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You won't get to heaven without the second birth. Now listen carefully. That second birth is so very, very important, the proper garments. Look at the little phrase, born again. Just look at it for a moment. You must be born again. It's interesting here. As I looked this word up, to have that full understanding that I wanted to share with you, the word that is used there is talking about your genes. The genes. You know, we all have genes, and I don't mean Levi's, and I'm not talking about Wranglers. I'm talking about G-E-N-E-S, the things that we're born with. And Jesus said, you have to be born again. You have to be regenerated, literally re-gened. Why? Because the genes you have will take you to hell. You have to get new genes in order to go to heaven. That's one of the most beautiful truths in the Bible. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So let me ask you a question. Do you have the proper garments? Do you have the proper birth? Are you born again? You know, these little phrases that we preachers have used throughout the years, they all come from passages like this. Remember the one that says, born once, die twice? Born twice, die once? What does that mean? If you're born once, means a water birth, you only have a physical birth, it says you'll die twice, a physical death and the second death mentioned in the book of Revelation, the eternal lake of fire going to hell. So born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, meaning physical birth, spiritual birth, you only have to die physically. Why? Because you have that eternal home in heaven. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You see, it all makes sense when you put the Bible together like it ought to be. And if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? That's such an important question. But secondly, not only do you have to have the proper garments, the proper clothing in order to get into heaven. Not only do you have to have that wardrobe, but secondly, you've got to have a proper body. You say, but Pastor, that leaves most of us out because my old body is not worth saving. Yeah. Aren't you glad you're not going to have the same body in heaven you got right now? Two ladies came to our church many years ago from Tennessee Temple University, twins, I think they were. I don't remember their names, but they sang a song, I'll get a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. And they sang it, and boy, it's such an inspirational type of a song. And the truth is, you cannot get into heaven just as I am. That works for coming to Christ, but you can't get into heaven with this. This will not make it. And neither can you, you must have a new body that is fit for eternity. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. In other words, you have to be regened. You have to get that regeneration. You have to have that new, you have to get that regeneration inside of you. And the body that you have right now equips you to live on this earth, maybe 70. I'm 1 year away from that. Not even a year, just a few months away from that. And the Bible says, and if by some reason, 80, that's 80 years, this old body doesn't last forever. Life expectancy right now is in the mid-70s, I believe, in America. There was a time in the 1800s when life expectancy was in the 40s. That's because everybody got shot, you get killed in the streets in the Old West. But this old body, it has a hard time living the 70 that God talks about or the 80 that God talks about. You want to read what happens to your body without listening to your body? Read the book of Ecclesiastes someday. Near the end of the book, it tells you what happens when you get older. You lose your hearing. You get shorter. You're not as strong as you used to be. You don't see as well as you used to see. It's all written in the Word of God. Why? Because that happens when you get a little older. But you got to have a different body to get into heaven. But God took care of that because he knew that our flesh would last for only a short time. God thinks of everything, doesn't he? If you have your Bible there, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll give you time to get there. If you're not sure where it is, just find 2 Peter and go back one book, and it'll be right there looking at you right in your face. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24. Notice what the Bible says about our bodies. It says, for all flesh is as grass. All flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Grass dies. Flowers die. Things die. And some of us don't have green thumbs, and so no matter what we do to make it live, it dies anyway. There are some things that are called perennials, and you can't seem to get rid of those. But there are things, it dies. The Bible tells us that. Again, in James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas ye know what not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. This old fleshly body doesn't last forever. Many years ago, when we were in Michigan, there was a funeral that was going on up there. And I remember talking to the funeral director, And I was talking to him about the embalming process. You say, Pastor, did you really talk to him about embalming? Yeah, I had a few questions, okay? And I think all of us have questions from time to time about what goes on in a funeral home and all that. And I said, how long does someone last when you embalm them? He said, oh, he said, we can embalm them to where their body lasts forever. He said, but you really don't want to look at it. I thought, I don't really want to look at it anyway. And he said, you really don't want to look at it. He said, but we can preserve a body for a long, long time. Yeah, but that body ain't going to heaven. Why? Because it's still a fleshly body. And it might have all the embalming fluid in it, and it might have all the resin coatings on it. And if you've ever looked at some of the mummies that came from Egypt and all that, even King Tut and all the rest of them, and their flesh is still there, but it's all rotted, and they got all this resin all over them. It's still flesh. That'll never get you to heaven. You got to have a proper body. So what does God do about that? If you tried to enter heaven with the body that you have right now, God would say, you can't come in here like that. It ain't going to work. But the Apostle Paul addressed it. Did you know that? He addressed it word for word. Do you have your Bible? Yeah, of course you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What a tremendous chapter on the resurrection of the body. A lot of people use 1 Corinthians 15 as a chapter on victory. But it's not, it includes victory, but the chapter itself is not on victory. It's on the resurrection, which is great. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 35, please. And I want to read down to verse 44, and I want you to follow along with me as I read, please. It says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, and one star differeth from another star in glory. So also the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Listen carefully. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You see, you can't take this one to heaven because it won't go. So therefore, we get a spiritual body at the resurrection. Isn't that wonderful? And when we die, our spirit goes to be with the Lord, but one day when Jesus comes back, the dead are going to be raised and we're going to be united. Listen, the Bible just makes it clear. By making these statements, the Apostle Paul was teaching us that in order to live forever in heaven, we must have a different kind of flesh. And he provided for that. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that one of these days I'm not going to need glasses. I'm glad that one of these days I'm not going to need these things that are in my ears right now that are supposedly helping me hear better. Some days, yes. Some days, not so much. That one day there will not be aches and pains. And one day there will not be sickness. And there will not be cancer. And there will not be lung disease. And there will not be anything that is sick in heaven. Because all that's going to be gone. No more strokes, no more unconsciousness, no more comas, no more any of those things. It's all passed away, and we'll have that new body that the two women sang about in my church and that the Bible speaks of here, a celestial body that is fit for heaven. And all God's people said, amen and amen for that. You see, the Bible says that not all flesh is the same. This natural body is not the body you're going to take to heaven with you. Somebody asked one time, are we going to recognize each other in heaven? I love my pastor's answer. He was so right. He said, you're not going to be any dumber in heaven than you are down here. Of course you'll be recognizing people. Of course you will be. If you plant a grain of corn, you get back a stalk with the corn on it. It looks different, but it's the same. You plant an apple seed, and you get a tree, and after a few years, you get apples, Lord willing, or any other kind of fruit that you might be planting in a fruit tree of some kind. Though that does not resemble the seed, but what grows up on that has seed in it. And what goes in the ground, it'll be similar, only better, than what we will have one day in heaven. I'm so looking forward to that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. No more slurred speech, no more bad hearing, no more of your famous phrase that you use when you start losing your hearing, which is, what? Huh? Hello? Can you say that again? What did you say? It's like them two old fellows that said, they were talking to each other, and the guy, he said, I just got a brand new pair of hearing aids. It cost me $7,000. And the guy looked at him and said, $7,000, what kind is it? He said, oh, it's 7:30. He didn't hear what kind is it. He heard what time is it, of all things. That's the way these puppies work. Are you listening to me? But one of these days, I'll have a new set of ears, and I won't mess up my speech. The only way to get a glorified body in heaven is to get saved here on earth. It has to happen here. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment, Hebrews chapter 9. Notice Paul's words, if you would, in 1 Corinthians 15. That's where we started today. Verses 42 through 44, he says these words, so also is the resurrection of the dead. And listen again to these words. They're very carefully chosen by the Spirit of God so that we understand. He said, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. That just sounds good by itself, doesn't it? It's sown in corruption, but it's raised incorruptible. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. You see, you need a new wardrobe. You got to be born again. And God will give you that new body one day. Now, if this can transpire because of any good work that you and I would ever do, it's just not right. God does it all. It is by God's grace that we are saved, and by His power that we are kept, as Peter wrote. You remember the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they knew that they had sinned against God? They tried to cover their nakedness. God said to them, who told you you was naked? I thought that was an interesting question, as if God didn't know. Now, who told you you didn't have any clothes on? But what did they try to do? The Bible says that Adam and Eve took fig leaves and sewed them together to make aprons to cover their nakedness. And God said, that's not good enough. So what did God do? He provided a blood sacrifice, a ram, a lamb, we don't know what it was. The Bible just says that God provided a sacrifice. And the Bible says God clothed them with the skin of the animal that God slew, and He clothed them. Why? Because their works were not good enough. You remember that story in the Bible of Adam and Eve's two sons, Cain and Abel? You remember how the Bible says that they were to bring a sacrifice to the Lord? Now, how did they learn about that sacrifice? Because God taught it to mom and dad when He clothed them with the robe of righteousness, so to speak, and they taught their children. But Cain went out into the field, and he brought a sacrifice of vegetables and fruits or whatever it might be and offered that, and God would not accept that because it was the works of his hands. Abel brought a blood sacrifice, which was a foreshadowing of the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I love what happened. God did not accept the sacrifice of Cain. But I like what God did. The Bible says that he caused a little animal, probably a lamb, I would assume, that little lamb crouched, or couched, as you would hear the words, in front of his tent. And he was told that, okay, you blew it with the fruit and the vegetables and the work of your hands, you blew it. He says, but sin lieth at the door. And when you look at that phrase, it's not talking about there was a sinner or a temptation outside of his tent. He said, there's just a sacrifice that's already waiting for you. And his desire's for you. All you have to do is go pick it up and sacrifice it, and it'll be accepted. And Cain said, no. He wouldn't even do it when it was presented to him that easily. It's something interesting about that. A guy like me can preach to people like I did yesterday, and they can hear of God's marvelous, perfect provision for salvation and still reject it because of the works of their hands and the baptism that they received as a child and the church membership that they hold on to and the lifestyle that they want. And God can offer it to them free of charge, and they'll still say no to it. That's what Cain did. He would not accept it. God did not accept Adam and Eve's aprons of leaves, and he did not accept the fruit of the work of Cain's hands, and he does not accept our works of righteousness, because all of our righteousness are as what? Filthy rags. Then it's not good enough. And God saw our useless aprons made from fig leaves, and he sent Jesus to die on Calvary's cross. For the wages of sin is death, but Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8. So let me ask you a question. Have you trusted in that wonderful grace that God has provided for salvation? I said at the beginning of this message, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir today. I know that. But the truth of the matter is, this is a truth that all of us need to get down into our souls. That when we talk to some poor lost sinner that needs Jesus, we're able to show them the simplicity. There's not a sin you can give up to get saved. Not a leaf you can turn over to save your sorry soul. It's by the grace of God that you are saved. Then you can start giving up those other things. And then your life can be changed. And that's called progressive sanctification. Isn't that a big phrase? And all it simply means is that day by day, you become less like the world around you and more like the Savior who saved you. So, do you need a new wardrobe today? Like I said, I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm asking my church family first. Do you need a new wardrobe? Because you can't get in there with the one you got. And you folks that are watching and listening online, do you need a new wardrobe? What are you trusting in to take you to heaven today?